I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the book of Jonah, commencing to read at the verse number 14 of chapter 1, and then continuing into the second chapter of the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, verse number 14, and then continuing into the chapter 2. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul, and the depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountain. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. We end our reading there, and we know that once again the Lord will bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise thee that we do have an infallible book, the word of the living God, that we can rest upon. We thank thee that thy word is forever settled in heaven, that thy word indeed is truth. And we pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt bless thy word to our hearts even this morning. Encourage us in the things of God that we might walk in the very center of thy divine and thy holy will. We pray that thou wilt bless us as we study thy word. Pray that as we meditate upon it that thou wilt, our God, write thy word upon our hearts. And help us, our God, to do what thou desirest us to do. We leave ourselves completely in thy hands. We pray that you'll continue to bless in this service of worship. And we'll give thee the praise, the honor, and all of the glory, for thou, Lord, alone art worthy, for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. As we continue our study in the book of Jonah this morning, surely you realize with me that Jonah is a book of the miraculous. We see the miracles of God here in this little book, 4 simple chapters. We see the finger of God and the miracles of God given to us and brought before our attention. And those that try to explain away the miracles here and the miraculous of this book are doing so because they're simply denying the word of God as God has given to us. You see, there are many today that simply do not believe the record of the Word of God and believe that this is the infallible book, the Word of the living God. And as we gather in God's house today, let us never be ashamed to say that we believe the Bible. We believe God's precious Word as God has given it to us. And no matter where you go, brethren, and ladies and gentlemen, this morning, we should never be ashamed. We should never apologize for God's infallible Word. This is indeed a tremendous book. It is a word from God. You know, whenever people read the story of the book of Jonah, I must confess, I feel sorry for those who on the one hand say that they believe the Bible, but on the other hand, they are trying to explain away the miracles. In other words, they're searching the seas to somehow find some kind of a fish or some mighty sea animal which could swallow Jonah and keep him alive for 3 days and three nights without doing him harm and then spewing him out onto dry land. And friend, the reason why they're doing that is because they want to silence the critics. They're really wanting, as it were, to silence the skeptics by their knowledge. And by saying to you, well, somehow, we believe that just there is somewhere in the sea such an animal that could do that very thing. And they're scanning the internet, and they're scanning the seas to try and get this animal. Let me tell you, my friend, you and I this morning should never feel that we're under pressure to silence the skeptics or to silence the critics about the miraculous in the Word of God, because I believe that God is a God of miracles. The Word of God tells me that there is nothing too hard for Him. The question is asked, is there anything too hard for God? And friend, the answer is given before it actually was asked. Ah, Lord God, there is nothing too hard for Thee. And so, friends, when it comes to the story of Jonah and the great fish in the Scriptures of holy truth, you don't need to apologize for believing the Word of God. By faith, you take God at His Word and you believe that the God of miracles, the God who created this earth, friend, listen, in 6 days, and then the seventh day rested, there is nothing too hard for Him. The God who said, let there be light, and immediately the lights went on. Friend, let me tell you, He is the God of the miraculous. Now let's read the Scriptures there in Jonah chapter 1. And the verse 17, now this is what the Word of God says. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. You will notice, my friend, that the Word of God is clear about that. It says that God had prepared this great fish. Now before we come on to that, I want to ask this question. Why do the critics, why do the devil's crowd assail the story of Jonah and the great fish? Is there something behind their great opposition to this story that is recorded in the Word of God? Why do people laugh at it and poo-poo it as if it couldn't be, as if it is not true? I want to tell you, that's not the only miracle that's in this book. In actual fact, I see another great miracle in the book of Jonah. Whenever Jonah preached to the city of Nineveh, friend, we are told in God's Word that the whole city repented through that sermon and through that message of Jonah. That was a miracle. There has never been recorded in the history of man such a spiritual awakening that took place as took place where the whole of the city was turned over to the Lord. But the skeptics don't even notice that. You see, they don't really care about that. They want to laugh at this idea that somehow that Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish. I can tell you this. They noticed that all right. But why is the opposition about the story? I'll tell you simply why. Because you see, my friend, the story of Jonah points to something else, a greater miracle. The story of Jonah speaks of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God says that Jesus died for our sins and He rose again because of our justification. And the devil hates the cross, and the devil hates the empty tomb. Because you see, my friend, the resurrected Christ, praise God, He speaks pardon and He speaks peace to our soul. I want to show you just simply in God's Word as we pass, it was the Savior Himself that linked these two together. In John's Gospel, chapter 12. And in John's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 40, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is speaking to us. And the Lord Jesus is telling us that Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, and the verse 40. And Jesus says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And so the Lord Jesus Christ was bringing together the reality of Jonah being in the fish's belly 3 days and 3 nights. Notice what Jesus said, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights." And those that try to poo-poo the fact that Jonah could be 3 days and 3 nights in the fish's belly, they are simply denying the word of the living God. But Jesus says, just as Jonah was there 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, or in the grave. Of course, we know why the resurrection must be vilified. We know why that there's so much target of disbelief. We read about it this morning. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, friend, what was the reality of the resurrection of Christ, and what would have been the reality had Jesus Christ not risen? Let's turn our Bibles over there for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about His resurrection. And this is what Jesus says here in verse number 12. "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how shall some say, or some among you, that there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain or empty, and your faith is vain." It says, not only that, verse 15, "We are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Then verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead. And He is the firstfruits of them that sleep." And you see, the devil's crowd, they hate the resurrected Christ, because if Christ is not risen, then we have no Savior. The Bible says if Christ is not risen, we are yet in our sins. Because if Christ was not raised, He was raised because of our justification. Because, friends, He died for our sins. But in His death, thank God, He satisfied all the demands of God. And because he paid the absolute and complete and total price of our redemption, the grave could no longer hold him. Not from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. Hallelujah. Christ arose. But you see, if he was not raised, then he had not satisfied God's law. He had not paid the price of our redemption. If Christ be not raised, then there is no justification. We would be of all men most miserable. We would be dying in our sins and going to hell. If Christ was not risen, then there would be no substantiation of his deity, because his resurrection declared who he was. He was God, manifest in the flesh. And the resurrection is a key plank, the key platform that he died for our sins. But praise God, not only did he die for our sins, but he rose again. In the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul explains what the gospel is. And in verse number 3, he says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. A Christ who died for our sins, but thank God, a Christ who was raised again because of our justification. You see, the very heart of Paul's preaching was a resurrected Christ. The very heart of Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost was a resurrected Christ. You see, the resurrection of Christ makes Christianity different from all other religions. Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, they're all dead. But praise God, Christ lives. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, lives. And that message is so important to our Christian faith today, that you and I shouldn't be surprised that the devil hates it. You and I shouldn't be surprised that the devil tries to mock it. And Jesus says, as sure as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the fish's belly, so shall I, the Son of Man, be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And for men and women to attack the story of Jonah, friend, what they're simply doing, they're attacking the Scripture itself. And they're attacking the veracity of the Savior himself. It's an attack upon the Son of God. Don't you ever worry. Never hold your head down, friend, when people come to attack the story of Jonah in the Scriptures. You thank God, I believe the book. I believe the Bible. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause. Maintain the honor of his word and the glory of his cross. Let's look at the story. Let's go back to verse 17 now of Jonah. The first thing I want you to notice is the presence of the Lord here. It says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow of Jonah. And I was thinking about that. Let me tell you, friend, listen, I have no problem about this story at all, because it says, now the Lord prepared. You see, if you take the Lord out of it, then we have a problem. You take the Lord out of the story, then you have a problem. Who could prepare such a great fish? I believe there would be major difficulties. But notice, with the Lord on the scene, all things are possible when we only believe. But you see, man wants to explain everything apart from God. That's their problem. They want to explain everything. We look at this world. Man's trying to find a cause outside of God. That's the evolutionist. Let me tell you, friend, listen. They can't deny the earth. They can't deny creation. They can't deny that God has made man, or that there is man before their very eyes. They can't deny it, but they want to. They want to explain our existence outside of God. Take God out of it. watching the news last night. There was a young woman standing in front of a... She was talking about her story. She was standing in front of a headstone, and she was talking to the headstone of her young soldier who had died. And she says, I talked to him. She says, well, I believe that he's... They said, well, where do you think he is? And she says, I think he's in... I hope he's in some heaven. And that somehow that the angels are looking after him. They said, well, do you believe in God? She says, well, no, I don't really believe in God. She says, but I believe in angels. I believe in angels. And somehow he's looking down on me and he's smiling at me. And me in with tears because I'm crying over him. You see, friend, let me tell you, you couldn't bring her... she wanted to talk about eternity out there. She wanted to talk about her loved one being out there in a place called heaven. She didn't want to believe in God. See, people want it without God. You see, when God steps into the story, friend, he's the one that troubles man and woman. Because he's the one that demands that man bows before him and worships him. You see, man wants to worship himself. And what society is doing today, and what religious society is doing today, they're deifying man and they're humanizing God. They want to make God just a man, but they want to make themselves as gods. But the God of the book says that we have got to come and worship before him. You see, if they accept the possibility of God, then they must worship him. And so they try to explain the story without God. And friend, listen, well, they say, well, listen, and then if there is a God, somehow they've got to limit him. That God cannot do the impossible. They've got to remove from God the miracles. They've got to take away from God his power. Thank God those who believe the Bible this morning, those who gather in this house of God, that's gathered around a book and is gathered around an old-fashioned gospel in an old-fashioned gospel preaching house, where the Word of God is the center of this congregation, where the Word of God is proclaimed, where preaching is the central part of our worship. Those who believe in the God of the Bible, thank God I have no problem. We have no problem with the miracles. I want to tell you, if you turn over to the book of, just keep your hand there and turn over to the book of Hebrews. And the great chapter of faith, and this is how it opens, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that are not seen. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The worlds were framed by the word of God. God spake the world into existence. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Friend, he made them out of nothing. Go down to verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's the God of miracles. It's an old hymn I remember when I was a young believer. I remember singing, it took a miracle to put the world in place. It took a miracle to put the stars in space. But when he saved my soul, he cleansed and made me whole. It took a miracle of love and grace. Friend, there we see the presence of the Lord. Now, the Lord. That brings me to the second thought, the preparation of the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared. Here we see the Lord's activity. He had prepared. And that word, I mentioned in passing last Lord's Day, the word prepared means appointed, assigned, designated, determined. The Lord had prepared a great fish. Let me tell you, my friend, some people say, well, somehow that this fish was just sailing by. It was just swimming by at the time that Jonah went overboard and it might have saw this object coming into the water and it didn't know what it was and it just opened its mouth and Jonah sailed on in. I want to tell you, there's nothing of the sort. This fish wasn't sailing just by things. Let me tell you, this fish was appointed of God. God, the Bible says, had prepared it. You see, there's nothing here that takes God by surprise. This fish was there at that moment as Jonah was cast into the sea by those ungodly men who had turned their heart to God, and they threw Jonah in over the side and into the water. And as Jonah was thrown into the water, friend, God had, by divine appointment, that great fish there at that moment. This was no surprise by God. This fish was prepared of God for this moment. I see here the mercy of God following Jonah, friend. I see here that God never let go of Jonah. Had God let Jonah go and God said, listen, Jonah, I'm leaving you to your own devices. You deserve what you get, let me tell you. He would have got what he deserved. But God didn't do it. God was gracious to Jonah. The Lord had still work for Jonah to do, and so therefore God was going to see that that work was performed. And to perform God's will, God had prepared. That means specially prepared. God had specially prepared a fish that was ready to swallow Jonah, the rebellious prophet. Jonah was the rebellious prophet. And God wanted to get him back to land to preach to Nineveh. And if he had to get back, he needed transportation. For the boat didn't turn. So God provided, designed, designated, appointed special transportation for his child. But Jonah's heart wasn't ready. And not only did God provide transportation for Jonah, let me tell you, friend. God provided a place for Jonah. A private place for Jonah. To get his heart ready for the service of the king. And I believe if we're going out to serve the Lord, friend, we need, before we serve the Lord, we need to have a heart that's prepared to serve him. We need to get alone with God. We need to have that place, that secret place. That place of aloneness with God where all the distractions are left aside. And Jonah needed a private place to prepare his heart before the service began. And once again, God stepped in to meet his need. My God shall supply all your need. Now the Bible says God prepared a great fish. Let me tell you, it's not the kind of fish that matters. That's not what's in the story. People argue about what kind of fish it was. It says over there in the book of Matthew, it mentions about the whale. And they say, it would have to be a different kind of whale because Jonah could never have survived. Let me tell you, God provided wonderfully the exact fish that was needed for the need. So often we limit God to our circumstances. Let me tell you, God provided for Jonah beyond the circumstances. He can do anything but fail. When our sister Louise is praying, quite often she's praying, she says, Lord, you can do anything but fail. And friend, let me tell you,
God can do anything. We have a great God today. People, get your eyes on the great fish. Get your eyes on the great God. The God who is able to do superabundantly above all we could ever ask or think. I was thinking about in the days of the prophet. Do you remember the axe head fell in the water? And friend, let me tell you this, the axe, and my, there, the axe head, and it began to swim. I was thinking about the ravens. And the ravens, they're scavengers, and yet the Bible tells us that God used the ravens to bring bread and flesh in the morning to Elijah the prophet as he was down there by the brook Cherith. It was an impossible thing, and yet God used the ravens. Elisha the prophet was in great need, and God used a widow woman. And my friend, she was preparing her last meal. Because there was only a handful of meat in the barn, and she was preparing it for her son and for herself. And then she was going to die, for there was little in the oil in the cruse. It was finished. And the last handful of meal. But God was able to supply the need. Balaam, God used the very old animal underneath him, Balaam's ass, friend, to speak out. And to see the very angel of the Lord standing in the gateway. And God used the voice of an ass. We sing the hymn, God works in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. Maybe there's somebody here discouraged this morning. And as I look in Jonah, thank God, God wasn't finished with Jonah. And I just say, well, praise God, the Lord's not finished with us yet. And the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ. That's Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident. Having our confidence in the Lord, friend. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he's going to perform it, he's going to finish it, to the day of Christ. And we see the presence of the Lord. We see the preparation of the Lord, and very quickly, we see the preservation of the Lord. For Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the fish's belly. Just turn back a wee moment to the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, that story. It says in chapter 12, verse 39, and he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Christ was confronted that day with a crowd of unbelievers. Stubborn unbelief. And the unbelieving scribes and the unbelieving Pharisees asked him, in that chapter, in the verse 38, then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. They were looking for signs. They were looking for evidence. They were looking for proof to substantiate his claim. And Christ says, there'll be no sign. But set your mind back to the day when Jonah went into that sea and he was 3 days and 3 nights in that fish's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights. You see, friend, listen. People are trying to explain away. How did Jonah last 3 days and 3 nights without getting suffocated? Without getting poisoned? And of all these worries, when you leave God out, when you bring God into it, there you see the preservation of the Lord. There's a lot of things worry us today. And there's a lot of worries in your mind. And friend, to be honest, you have tried to work it out. There's things you can't understand. There's things you're trying to put together. And to be honest, the more you try to put the threads of life together and the puzzle of life together, it just seems to be that the puzzle gets more difficult. And there's pieces just don't fit. Let me tell you, friend. Take you your burden to the Lord, and you bring God into casting all your care upon Him. Take your burden to the Lord today. Take your problem to the Lord. Bigger than all of my problems, bigger than all of my fears. God is bigger than any mountain I can or I cannot see. Bring the Lord in. And I can tell you from personal experience, in my life with all its problems and difficulties too, when I try to work it out and sort it out, I must confess, I get disappointed and get discouraged. But I'm not today, because I know that God's there. I know that God is working it all out. I don't have to put the pieces together, friend. God's doing it. God's fulfilling the plan. And God will perform it to the day of Christ. We see, with this I close, we have seen the presence of the Lord, now the Lord. We have seen the preparation of the Lord, now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. We see the preservation of the Lord. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. He didn't die there. He wasn't lost there. Thank God he was safe there. You're safe in the hands of Jesus today. You have a God who cares. You have a God who's in control. You have a God who never leave you. You have a God who will never forsake you. Thank God there is the great doctrine of God's truth, the preservation of the saints. God will preserve His people. Paul said, I am persuaded to none of these things, height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And He's going to perform the work and He's going to preserve His people. And that's what brings us, and we'll come back next, or a couple of weeks' time, because next Lord's Day is Brother Singer. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 2, then, after the presence of the Lord, after the preparation of the Lord, after the preservation of the Lord, then Jonah prayed. There's the prayer to the Lord. Then Jonah prayed. You know, so often we think, and our minds concentrate on what happened inside the fish. Listen to me. Do you know what we're going to find? What we ought to be thinking about? What happened not inside the fish, but what happened inside Jonah. And that's what happens next. Then Jonah prayed. That's what happened for him. Inside Jonah, God is working and God is moving. In chapter 1, we see Jonah paying. He paid the fare. In chapter 2, we see Jonah praying. And he's turned to the Lord. Oh, may God teach us today to look away to Him. Rest in Him. Go out into this week, brother. Go out into this week knowing that we have a great God who's going to keep His hand upon us. And if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we'll have fellowship. The one with the other. Me and God. And the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing from all my sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that we see thee as a mighty God, the omnipotent God, the God who can do anything but fail, the God whose presence is with his people, the one who prepares a way for his people, and the one who preserves his people. Oh God, teach us to pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.